With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
What are we addressing, Richard?
No, we're addressing Channing's hairline. It's almost time for a haircut there, champ. That's looking real scruffy there.
Hold on.
Okay.
There it is.
No. The line is there. It's just not very crisp.
It's not very.
I didn't say it was crooked. I said it's not very crispy.
No, it's not crispy this week.
No. Yeah.
A bit sleepy today.
Is your forehead getting bigger, Channing?
Yeah, I'm getting older, Richard.
We have a little bit of a recede. You getting a little bit of a Stephen A going?
Low key, since you said it last time, I do the measurement. It's the same.
No, it's not.
This is a fisheye lens.
Do you use a kid's school ruler to measure that, or do you get a tape measure out?
I just go like this.
Yeah, just keep going.
Listen, if it starts to go like that, back here.
How far do you cut it all? How far back? Like, let me be really honest. How far back?
Would you go Stephen A?
Would you go that far back?
How far back would you go? It got to be.
Give me a line.
Wrinkles. So, like, it got to be, like, here. Like,
right
it gotta
there?
It got to be bad. This is still square. This is an adult head. This is a child of four kids. This is a dad of four kids' head. This is stress, okay? If it goes past the three fingers, like, Allie has three fingers before her hairline.
So, like, in my defense,
You got two and a half.
Big hands, you know what that means. Having said that, Richard.
Take a drink.
Channing and I just addressed something with you, and you proceeded, I feel like, to move even closer to the camera.
I didn't know. No. I didn't know, because I don't really watch the episodes. I think we do a pretty good job of talking and whatever. And we give it to the people, and we let it go, right? For some reason, I always thought that there would be some editing of maybe distancing me. I did not know I was going to be in the camera like this all the time. So I watched because you sent the episode talking about like the jokes. And then when I watched it, I was like, God, my face, as gorgeous as I look, I am all the way in the camera. And this is another thing I didn't know. And this is why I want to apologize to Road Tripping listeners. I always thought, because I would watch our clips, I thought that our podcast, that we had the editing where if Channing was talking, it would go to like a one shot of Channing. So then I would go black thinking I could like do whatever. Okay, Channing's talking now for whatever. I got to do whatever. It just goes black on the screen. Guys, why didn't you guys tell me?
Richard, we tell you all the time. No, Richard, asshole, dick. Makes me so mad.
I did not know that. I knew it was going black.
What do people say to you when your screen goes black? What are they telling you?
No, it's not. I just know these are things that I noticed, and I was just like, go read the comments.
They'll let you know what they think.
First of all, do not read the comments. Your opinion of me does not affect my day, so I will not.
It's not my responsibility.
I will not put anyone else in a position to affect my day. I woke up this morning
really bored and had a few chosen family.
I only enter into those chats when I want to fuck up someone else's day. If I'm having a good day, I don't care about anything else.
Can you do me a favor? Can you be a good teammate and go enter into our Instagrams chats today and defend everyone and fuck up their day about me not knowing who Ronald McDonald was.
No, I already talked to your brother.
He said, we give you up. I said, the Fry delegation does not want Allie.
No.
I got enough kids.
Well, you saw my emotions. And
not
you
saw your child.
Well, you know.
Technically, you were way younger.
All I'm saying is that we might have to have a conversation about the Ohio school system, right? We really like
my dad listens to this, so be careful.
I'm with you as your father, as an educator, might be the most disappointed. So we don't have to express anything, any comment. Allie's father is a president or is a principal. He's an educator of 49 years. And his daughter's like, Ronald McDonald's a clown?
Richard.
I know, he just sat there too.
He's an educator of a homeschool. They don't have a school in Van Wert. It's literally the barn and the six people who live in town. He's a principal of a homeschool for 49 years. It's a running scam.
Don't everyone in town?
Everyone in town pays him with eggs and hay and wheat.
So wait, what about all those uniforms that Allie bought? For her high school.
That's two towns over. And she just did that as a publicity stunt. Those girls, did you see their face? You're like, who the fuck is this?
That's aggressive, bro.
My bad.
Very aggressive. Jeez. having said that.
Luka Doncic, it's bad. And Luka Doncic is back in the building. Look at him giggle.
Oh, Doncic. I thought it said Lich. Okay. Luka Doncic.
Okay, well, we need to...
First of all, Richard, I need to be saying these names. Don't take my glory. It's the one thing that I get to do on these episodes.
First of all, I am the one that... This is like the second time we felt comfortable saying what his name is because it was so offensive half the time.
It's never offensive. Luka Doncic, Richard Jefferson, Allie Clifton. This is an episode of Road Trippin'. We're actually waiting on a special guest, which you all have already...
It's not that special. We're waiting on a guest.
He's pretty special.
He's special.
He's special. Yeah, you know what? Special is the right way to describe him.
In the most sincere form. How about Channing? I know you did, Rich. Let's talk about this. Team USA. Mm. How about that win yesterday? What'd you guys think? Channing, did you watch?
No.
You know what? I'm parts.
Highlights on SportsCenter do not count as parts. They don't.
No. I watch parts, but then it's me versus four other people in my house, and four of them are girls. There's five other people in my house, and it's me who wants to watch Team USA basketball. They're like, is LeBron playing? No. Is Steph Curry playing? No. Is Draymond Green playing? No.
Is this America speaking?
No, and I was like, they're not playing. They go, we don't want to watch this. And I was like, damn, y'all.
Hang on, time out. Are those their favorite players? Steph, Draymond, Bron?
Yeah, so my kids were born in, two of them were born in Phoenix. So they're like, where's Devin Booker and KD and Bradley Beal? So they know those names. And then because we went to the finals, they know Steph, Clay, and Draymond. And then the last one was born in Cleveland. So she knows, where's Kevin playing? LeBron. And I'm like, nope, Kevin plays on Miami. Oh, okay. So she's, she's getting to learn the new cast play. But I'll tell you this. I like it. Anthony Edwards is obviously special. But, like, Austin Reeves has been impressive because of how he's getting more of a role. And he looks like, oh, shit, it looks comfortable to him. He makes good plays when he's around LeBron and AD, which for most part isn't that hard. Just don't do stupid shit. But when you're on a good all-star team like this, his rhythm of the game makes things work really, really, really well.
Yeah, I think Anthony Edwards definitely has a chance to be super special. Like, I think he has a chance. Like, I'm going to be really honest. I don't – talent-wise, and this is going to be crazy, I think he has – in this summer, I think he's in a position to pass up Ja, to pass up Zion. And I know Zion, when Zion's on the court, Zion's that dude. There is that's the issue. When he's on the court, he's that dude. The question is, can he be on the court consistently? But I think when you start to think about the young dudes in this league, I know Victor, we're going to see what he does in the next couple of years, but Anthony Edwards seems like that guy and it's so easy. He jumps so easy. He shoots it so easy. He has so much strength. His handle is easy. He's learning to be a two-way player. And he's in a position right now where I know you call it an all-star team. This is not like what the cool thing about watching Germany and Spain is that they've got to move the ball like a college team. They've got to play like a college team, being a team of highly talented all-stars and NBA players. But I will say, I will say this. Anthony Edwards, like the fact that all of these guys have quickly deferred to him as the alpha, right? They have all deferred to him as he's going to be that guy, and they've all complimented each other. But that man, he's going to be an alpha for a long time. What's up, this man? Why is your shoulder so big?
Damn,
bro?
Look at Papa like, shit.
What you doing, bro?
That boy did the delts. He did all shoulders. No
listen,
curl.
He was doing these.
Little dudes. Why little dudes always want to do shoulders and shrugs?
Shoulder press. That's all you did. No arms.
I had a lot of former teammates, including Richard, telling me that I was going to be fat when I retired. So I just kept lifting.
Speaking of that dude, welcome, Jameer Nelson.
Thank you. Thank you.
How you doing, man?
I can't complain. I don't know how you two deal with this dude, man.
What do you mean?
You.
What I do?
What do you mean? What don't you do? You're a troublemaker.
So this is the thing. When Jameer is talking, he is talking to a mirror. So he knows that everything that's ever been said about him, he can say directly to me. That is why our lockers were next to each other in Dallas. And half the time, me being me, I'm always looking to my right like, what did you just say? What's wrong with you, bro? That was me talking to Jameer in Dallas the whole time.
Weren't you boo-boo in Dallas, Richard?
What?
Weren't you shitty in Dallas?
I was good. I was nice in Dallas. I was dunking on people and shit.
It wasn't your best album. I'll say that.
What are you talking about? First of all, my Dallas performance got me to Cleveland. So
I knew that was coming.
You know what's crazy? We had a bunch of dudes on that team who had to accept a different role, including myself. I was like, man, I think I was averaging like 5 points. They're telling me, you're doing great. I'm like, I don't feel like it. And then I just go in the locker room and talk shit with Richard. Because we were doing the same thing.
That's how I felt in Cleveland. But, you know, when you got the big fail, you're like, well, shit, we won. I'm rolling. We're rolling with this. Oh, y'all need me tonight? 3 shots? That's it. If we lose, that's y'all fault.
Jameer, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you how doing? Are you? I'm doing well.
Good. What's going on in your world? Is it busy? Is it slow time right now?
You're
front office for those that are just tuning in and listening. Jameer Nelson, assistant GM, still correct?
No, I'm elevating a little bit. Still working on some things, but I'm moving up a little bit.
He's the assistant to the assistant of the assistant.
Hey, look, you just take. I moved up one because last year I was the assistant to the assistant times like five.
Okay.
All right.
Right. Wait, what made you want to get into that side?
Naturally, you guys know, as like former players, everybody's like, oh, you'll be a great coach, especially from the point guard lens. I just wanted to like learn this side and see what it was about initially. And then I started becoming more and more intrigued. And then, you know, one thing led to another in big meetings, trade calls, and you know, talking to agents. I'm starting to love it. I started loving it back then. And now it's just like, it's something that I'm enjoying, especially when you have a good group of guys around you and girls. They help out a lot. I mean, my learning curve has shot through the roof just because of the exposure that I've gotten over the last few years.
What has been the thing that you have, you know, even for all of us, like me and Channing and Allie, we're broadcasters, we're in that space. There's been a lot of things that surprise us when you get over to this side. It's like you're talking basketball, but there's a business side of it that is a little bit more prevalent. What has been something that's been surprising to you? Maybe that you didn't know, and maybe something that you felt would have been useful to know as a player about the position that you are now in.
Well, it's funny because I mean, I was traded quite a bit.
I know. Lots. Trading from Dallas. I was happy when you got traded from Dallas. That's true. Thank God. Get Rondo in here. We need help.
just the one thing is, like, And it happened when I actually got traded from Dallas. The league is not personal. You know, it's you really get to see the business side of it. You have to start thinking like front office exec and not the former player, because you like, you know, you're in the meetings, you're talking about guys. I probably was traded 35 times a year and it just never went through. You know, stuff like that. Oh, like, wow. you don't know as a player what you know on this side. It's just, for me, it's eye-opening to the conversations that are had, and how we communicate is totally different from player to player. But it's fun. It's for me, like, having a team that I'm involved with and being a part of something that's bigger than myself, trying to win a championship, which I didn't get to do as a player. So it's just a matter of, like, grinding and challenging myself and in a different lens. I did, like, just like everybody else, I thought I would be a coach. I'm not ruling that out, but I am enjoying what I'm doing right now. So looking forward to running my own team one day.
Is your fun part, is it more the NBA players and those type of trades, or like free agents, or is it more like assessing talent from college players? And I have a second question to all that.
Yeah, so it's funny, like, it's hard. Like, it's hard as a former player to not get to your conclusion quick. Because you're looking at the dude, you're like, yo, he can't play or she can't play, whatever, right? Just quick.
Right.
But so the one thing I learned, and it happened, you know, one of my former coworkers, he said, look, you're spot on with your assessment, but you need to not get to the conclusion so quick. You need to find out why they can play and why they can't play. So you have to break the player down and explain it in a room full of people. On both ends. Even if I'm like, okay, I just want to stir something up, I might go against the group just because it makes everybody think different. You know, I think that's part of like being a performer, a former athlete or a former NBA player. I see things different, you know, sometimes. And the learning part of it is just learning what everybody else has. And I have something that they can't get. I have 14 years of being in that locker room. So I think just, and Richard knows I like to stir things up a little bit. So I don't mind it.
Stir things up. What was your second question, Channing?
Well, that was just it. And I think nowadays you said stuff isn't personal, right? So I think on that side, when guys are getting these huge contracts, do you see the contracts getting bigger? And like, how should, like, if you had to give advice to guys playing now, other than it not being personal, like, what other things could you help them do to really just, like, go hoop and not worry about that other part?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Like, for me, I look at it like this. I'm 5'11" from Chester.
Wait.
I'm 5'11", bro.
Wait.
Listen, my city, it's barely 40,000 people. I looked at it like I made it to the league. Whatever I do after this is an incentive. Like, and most of the league comes from the inner city, right? So you get there, and I think the main thing for me when I got there was like, how do I stay? You're gonna get the money. Like, you might get 10 million, you might get 15, Ali might get 30, 50, whatever, right? But it's gonna be some money. It's gonna be some money that we've never seen. So the money is gonna be there as long as you take care of what you can control, and that's you being the best version of yourself, like every single day in practice, every game. Like, I tell these young guys, especially in the G League, you may not make it to the league, but if you do, you're probably going to be the last man on the roster. What are you going to do to separate yourself from, you know, that next guy come in and take your spot?
Was it a challenge for you to separate having been a player for so long in this league to now being on the other side, but still leaning into those strengths of why you probably relate to so many guys in the locker room and still being kind of recently removed from the game as a player?
It's tough. I'm always going to be a critic. I'm looking at my team and other teams like, I just don't understand why you do this, or why you can't make this get passed, or why you don't make this pocket pass.
Old head haterism comes quick.
Yeah, no, it's
old head haterism. It comes. It feels good.
It's natural. It's natural. It's natural when you play at the highest level to be able to do that. And I think we've all earned that respect to be able to like critique the game that way. That's why you guys are, you know, well, Channing, you're good on TV, and Al, you're, you know,
Richard, why
you guys are on TV, you know.
Are you surprised that Richard is in the television space?
No, still. After 5 years. Still, he has not got fired yet.
I'm surprised he's still, but I'm not surprised that he chose that route. You know, he's obviously, he has a lot of knowledge of the game. And the one thing about Richard was he was never afraid to voice his opinion. Right or wrong, like he voices his opinion. And it's funny, I'll text him every now and then when he's on TV just to like, you know, mess with him.
Yeah. No, I will say this. Certain people get texts, like insider information. I get texts of people heckling me, talking shit, saying, you don't believe that, you try. And it's like people that I know, people that have their phone number, and they just want to like, they want to harass me. This dude harasses me on television. And then I get my get back. I will get my get back.
Well, That's the best part. This is my get back. When you're on TV, this is all the stuff you put me through, all the times you tormented me in that locker room. Calling me all a different name. I'm not going to say the name. I don't want to get you canceled.
I am the best gift. I am the best gift that you had. The fact that your locker was next to mine. The best part about me and Jameer is that we were both a part of the end of each other's career. Is because I go to Denver.
Oh, yeah.
And Jameer was there. Coach Malone was going to play Jameer Nelson instead of Moutier and had Jamal Murray as the backup. And they're like, Moutier, they're like, well, we can't trade Moutier, who is a top 10 pick, if we don't play him. So, like, we got to be able to trade him. And then he got money ball. And he's like, well, you can't play Jameer because we just traded him. And Richard Jefferson is now your veteran. Yeah. That was pretty much the end of both of our careers.
It's fun. That story right there is so true. I never forget. And like I said, it wasn't personal. I talked to the team. I'm like, hey, are you guys waving me? They're like, no. Why you hear that? Of course you hear it, right? So 20 minutes later, yeah, we're going to have to wave you. So I said, well, so I was like, all right, cool. And I was in a movie theater. I was like, cool. My money travels with me, right? They was like, yeah. I was like, all right, don't worry about it. And I just went back to my apartment. Because at that point, like Richard said, I was at the end of my career. And I was like, you know, it is what it is. I understood, like, it's funny. I don't know if I should have done this, but I took some young guy spots later in my career, and I think it hurt me a little bit because people were afraid to put me on their team because I was still, you know, capable of playing.
Mm-hmm. I think you were a very strong backup. You transitioned from that role as a starter, all-star, into like a six-man, into a great veteran backup, which, you know, teams are still looking for that today. That's a coveted spot. Like when you start ranking spots, the backup point guard is big. And yeah, it was true. That was the issue in Denver. You got pushed out of Denver because it was Moutier and Jamal Murray, and they had to play one. They had to start one. They had to trade one. They had to figure it out. And having you there as a coach, the coach wants the veteran. The team wants, you know, the team wants to see what the assets are, to see what they can put together. Right. And so that's where you get. But look, that puts you in a tough spot. And then it puts me, who's coming in a tough spot. Right. It puts me in a tough spot because now it's like coach mad that his veteran point guard is gone. And it's like, who's this guy? You know, so a lot of times, man, like you can get put in spots that are not because of your performance and be put in spots not because of the team situation. You're just kind of floating along and you just try and make the best of it.
I had dudes calling me from that team saying, they were like, oh man, we're not going to talk to Richard because like, you know, now you're the vet.
Yeah. It's hot.
Like, and I was like, yo man, like he didn't like wave me. You know what I mean? He didn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
I would have if I did, but I didn't.
No, you wouldn't. No. But you know what though? I'm glad we're recording this because it's the first time you ever gave me a compliment. So
when? What a compliment did I say?
You didn't even told me I transitioned well.
No. That was because your skills had declined. And so you
I was about to say, Richard doesn't even know he gave you the compliment.
This is a random question, but I am curious. Like your heyday, yeah, I guess I could say heyday. Your peak, right, was those years where Orlando was dominating, right, to me, where we considered you the – like a two guard, almost more than a point guard, right? Even though you were the point guard, like depending on the team, Hedo would play point guard.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
If that was the right matchup, right? Which was new for everyone in rotations. And you had that monster rolling towards the rim. who was somebody from that age, the early 2000s, you know, like that was nice that you don't think gets enough credit for like how good he was? I always like asking these kind of guys these questions.
From my team or just in general?
In general, like somebody you were like, how is this dude not getting more attention?
Man, I think a dude like Gerald Wallace. Like,
ooh, forgot about
the
him.
Dude, yeah. The dude, like,
didn't even tie his damn shoes.
Right now, in this day and age, he could still be effective because of his athleticism, his size, and it's
his motor.
His motor. Like, it's a skill now to play hard. So he'll be able to navigate just because of that. But he was just so tough, man. Like, you could put him in versus any matchup, 3, 4, 5. He was going to run right through your chest. He was going to guard the hell out of you. But, like, dudes like that, they don't get enough credit. Like, you always hear about the big names. But those are the guys that lead Charlotte to the playoffs when they probably shouldn't make it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Him, one guy, not to...
Gerald Wallace got Kid Gilchrist drafted.
Yeah. It was a lot of really good, you know, shaky draft picks there. But,
Gerald Wallace, this motor, this hustle... Just
we
like
need him. To get one of those. Now that ain't it. Listen, it's like, yo, you trying to get the, you know the Draculos and you got the vampire chocolates, you know, on the bottom of the bag. What's crazy
is Jameer probably would have had the same assessment.
Oh my God.
Even a dude like Mo Williams, man, like the dude.
Oh, was,
Mo was nice. Mo was nice.
I played with him in Orlando, and when I tell you that kid, I was just like, if I saw him work out, I'd be like, oh, what? This kid could fuck. It was ridiculous what he could do. But the problem is, when you have all those young guys, we had Victor, Tobias, Vooch, Evan Fournier, you had Dwayne Demon, you had all these dudes under 24 years old, Aaron Gordon, who like wanted to be the man. And Mo Williams is also there, like, where do I fit in? But if he had gone to a veteran team, it would have been, his career would have been completely different. Completely
You might
different.
Be talking about Mo Harkless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mo Harkless. My bad.
You're talking about Mo Williams. Say, we were...
I'm thinking like, I'm like, damn, Mo Williams is my age. He might be maybe a year younger or older.
My bad. I'm thinking Mo Harkless.
I'm thinking he wasn't young when you were in Orlando.
Listen, his allergies. I didn't hear that. This guy got whacked. Mo Williams was nice, though.
You want to ask me? You want to ask them how they deal with me? We want to ask them how he deal with me? He went on a 5-minute rant about the wrong player.
You should Allie just ask know, Allie how know. She deals with both of them.
Allie didn't know.
Allie Harkless, they cousins. Allie
didn't know that Ronald McDonald was a clown.
Okay, let's continue on. Calling all road trippers. We all know the problem with fads. They come and go. So when it comes to weight management plans, you need a long-term solution, and that's Noom. For some people, eating is an emotional experience. So when it comes to managing your weight, it makes sense that Noom has taken a psychology-based approach. This helps you to better build habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. Using both science and personalization, Noom helps you manage your weight for the long term. The best part is you decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Based on a sample of almost 5,000 Noomers, 98% said Noom helped to change their habits and behaviors for good. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The bottom line is, road trippers, Noom's changing how the world thinks about weight loss. So sign up for your free trial today at Noom.com. Again, head to Noom.com and sign up for your free trial today. This episode of Road Trippin' is brought to you by our friends at BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices and the path forward isn't always clear. Whether you're dealing with hard decisions around your career, relationships, or anything else, therapy can help you stay connected to what you really want as you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Rich Channing and myself have all faced some pretty tough challenges over the years, both in our personal lives and professionally. And I promise you, we wouldn't be where we are today without a great support system in place. If you're thinking of getting that support you need through the form of therapy, then give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You'll start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So, road trippers, let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/roadtrippin' today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/roadtrippin'. Jameer.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Stan Van Gundy story? From your time?
Man, there's so many. It's just, one, he was the best coach that ever coached me, you know, taught me the game. He messed me up because every coach after, I kind of like second guessed everything they said because he had me so prepared. But it would just be times we would be down 4-2 in the beginning of the game, and he would call a timeout and curse us out. And I'm like, yo, man, we down by 2 points with like 46 minutes left. He's like, I don't give a they're kicking your ass. I'm like, they're up by two. The funniest story I think was we were playing New Jersey and they had Darren Williams and we were up by 30. They weren't good. We were up by 30. D Will come down. He hit three threes. Bang, bang, bang. So Stan took me out and he's like yelling at me. So I yell back. You know, Richard knows I don't care. I don't bite my tongue. So I'm yelling back. So I'm like, yo, that's my fault, huh? And I'm like, you know. He's like, nah, it's not your fault. He's just kicking your ass. So he took me out. So I'm like, so he said that to me. I'm like, man, f you. Like that, right? We're going back and forth. I go back in the locker room, cool off, and come back. He's like, you ready to play? And I'm like, man, whatever. Just put me in the game. And we end up winning, but it was just so funny. Like, he was a real dude. Like, if somebody was kicking your ass, he's going to tell you.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's the best part is if the accountability is not always X's and O's. It's not always X's and O's. It's like, nah, but he's whooping your ass.
Yeah.
It's not it just, I call a timeout. My other sub is to take you out. And then you haven't, like, Jameer had, and I'll give this to you. This is not a compliment. This is an observation. He was very similar to me in the sense that he would, like, often talk back. I would say a little smart. I say, he would say things that were like, oh, so that's my fault. And it's like, it's more conversational, right? And you build a relationship with people so you can have those conversations in those heated moments. So then at halftime, he's like, you ready to play? And it's like, motherfucker hit three threes. He's a fucking all-NBA player, and he came down, his team sucks, we're up by third, and he's firing off threes. But he also has a relationship where he can take you out of the game, make an example out of you, and know that you're not going to take it personally or that you guys can talk it out. So what that does is that keeps an edge on you, that keeps an edge on your team the whole time. Yeah. And until you become an older player or until you're on the other side, you look back on it, and that's how you learn lessons of how to motivate team. Pop will do the same thing. Pop will call timeouts 12 seconds in. I've told this story before. Channing one time called me and said, how are you doing not starting? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I turned it on like right after the jump ball and you weren't, like, I turned it on at the beginning of the game. I was like, oh, I missed the rotation the second play of the game and Pop took me out.
Yo, seriously.
Cut, no, was no lie. I was like, how are you handling not starting? I'm like, bro, I've started every game. He's like, dude, I turned on the Portland game and you weren't starting. And I was like, I missed a box out.
Hang on. When was this? When you were in San Antonio?
When I was in San Antonio.
And you started in San Antonio?
Definitely wasn't his best album. I'll tell you that. Throw that album in the trash. Hang
on. Tio, you started in San Antonio.
Yeah. The whole time I was there. I didn't start for like 15 games. Yeah. We won.
You act like that place hated you. They do. They never played a minute.
We swept their ass out the playoffs. That's what happened. Moved on by Amari. Boom.
That wasn't even during the playoffs.
He made that noise.
Dumbass. Anyways, we won 61 games there. We were still
got swept by the 10th place Suns.
Again, that was not that year. We beat Dallas and then lost to you guys in the second round. Then the year after that, we were in the first. We won 61 games and then played shitty versus Memphis and they knocked us out. They hate me there. They hate me there.
I wonder why. Listen.
See, that's what I'm saying.
A great person, but yeah, he probably was talking back to Pop and like.
No, you don't talk back to Pop.
No, you can't.
Richard was subdued. He was like, they gave him tranquilizers. He was like, where do I run?
But in my defense, going back, there were players over the course of NBA that have now gone to San Antonio and struggled when they came there from other situations, whether it's LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan looked like he was the best player in fucking basketball once he left and went to Chicago putting up buckets. You know, Kawhi obviously has been injured, but you've also seen it. Kawhi was different, but I think it can be tough if you're a veteran and then you go there into that system and you're trying to adjust. That's a very, like, LaMarcus, like I said, LaMarcus did not look like the same LaMarcus. He was still an all-star, still very good, but he didn't look like the LaMarcus that was in Portland. Same with DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan
nice
did not look
San
like
Antonio.
Yeah, but they were never content. But I'm saying, think about it.
Oh, contenders.
You had DeMar,
yeah, yeah.
LaMarcus,
he's not Tim
and
Duncan,
they were never in the conference finals. They had, but I'm saying, though, like, San Antonio never got to that space with those two dudes. And those two dudes did not look as dominant as they were prior. And LaMarcus, and DeMar looks more dominant post. So it was pre and post. DeMar looks like he's the most dominant person. He just struggled. He talked about it.
You know,
Jameer, what's your?
I don't think I ever won a game in San Antonio.
Well, wow. Well, judging from some of the teams that you played on, I don't see that to be that particular.
I can't remember.
Yeah, so well, you only played there your first how many years with Orlando? So you'd only gone once a season. Once,
yeah, so I think they beat us 10 times.
I could see that.
Wow.
Wait. When Dwight did the tap in over Tim Duncan to
that
win
was
the
in,
game.
That was in Orlando.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I beat him, but we didn't. I don't think we beat
not
him.
Not in San Antonio.
And it's going to,
you know what it is?
I got all the Spurs jerseys in my
aww.
Look at you. We talk about this. Like, I was going to put Richards up there, but they said they lost it in the mail.
Yeah.
Lost in the mail. You go to the Cracker Barrel and get it. It's 2-for-1 when you order flapjack.
If you put my jersey up there with those, bro, it will devalue your house. Right? You have now become a slumlord.
I was just gonna say, wait, you're gonna get a San Antonio jersey signed by Richard in the mail next week. Yeah. You're welcome. Great idea. Jameer, what is your assessment evaluation from like a talent on Victor Wembanyama?
I mean, it's just crazy that just the fluidity that he has as, you know, I don't know what, 7'4", 7'5". Like I you know, the closest thing in terms of that, we see like what, KD that moves that fluid, that tall, that long. Obviously he has some growing to do, just knowing ins and outs of the NBA game and the physicality. You know, that's gonna be a question mark for him. But for the most part, man, like the talent level is, I don't know if we've seen a dude as close in terms of talent since LeBron. I mean, people could talk about Zion and all these other guys, like, but this is 7'3" with a handle, jump shot. He defends the rim well. You know, obviously he's going to have a lot of buzz around him throughout the first couple of years of his career for sure, just to see if he pans out, which I don't see a reason why he doesn't. I think, like, this day and age, if you can shoot the ball, I think you'll figure things out.
Okay, question. This is a big statement. Let me statement now. Because you've seen a lot. 19-year-old Dwight or 19-year-old Victor?
Oof.
In today's game?
I'm just saying, bro. Look, you can say today's game or whatever. Shaq is on the board. If Shaq is on the board, you taking big fella, bro. In today's game, if Tim Duncan's on the board, you taking big fella. So all I'm merely saying is Dwight, people do not realize what Dwight is. He is one of the most forget basketball players. He is one of the most physically gifted humans that have ever walked the face
disgusting.
Of the fucking planet. When I think of David and Goliath, and they were giants, I think of Dwight Howard walking through the fucking desert.
You don't think of me?
You and facing Jameer and facing Jameer, and they're like, he's a giant.
Damn.
Who is this man? Like, listen, Dwight Howard, come on.
I don't. This is the thing. I don't like comparing errors, but I can say this:
players.
I don't understand why Dwight and how he's not a top 75 player all time.
When we were in Orlando together,
he was arguably number one or number two in terms of face of the league for a couple years, like defensive player of the year. You can name all the accolades, and you know, for us as a team, we were always top one or two in the league. So and that was a big part of it because of him. Like, knowing as a point guard, I'm going to get open shots because this dude's going to get double teamed every single play. Every play. He got double
teamed. Pick and roll. The whole defense is pulled in.
Answer my
damn question.
I'm taking Dwight.
Okay.
I want to win right now. You take Dwight. If you got some years to get some meat on his legs, pause.
But this is the thing. No, but this is the thing with Victor.
You take Victor.
With Victor, you hope the Victor continues to develop. With Dwight, I'm not saying he was a finished product at 19, but damn, what you were getting at 19 was something.
Yeah.
It was Amari, but bigger and stronger. Like, that's like Amari had more stuff. Amari had more skill. But, like, you're, like, a physical specimen. We hadn't seen Amari till Dwight came, and we were like, geez.
Damn.
So you would say, number one pick, 19 Dwight, 19 Victor, you're taking Dwight Howard.
Yeah, and the dude ate Popeyes all day and Buns and Pepsis and stuff. Like, the dude at one point wasn't eating fruit. He wouldn't eat salad, no vegetable, nothing. He was eating.
He's a specimen.
He was that, like, to me, it was like, this dude is special because of everything. Not just, like you said, not the basketball part, like how he recovered. And it just was crazy. Like, the dude.
Yeah, He never missed practice.
We would tell him to take practice off. He would never miss a practice and play every. He wouldn't let the backups get in practice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Shit. That's fucked up. Gortat was over there hot, wasn't he?
No. Gortat was the backup playing against him, getting elbowed every day.
Every day. Gortat, man, listen, you made a good point. We in Phoenix, we got all the old Orlando guys. We got Turgaloo. We got Vince. We had Q Rich. We had Petrus. Oh, forgot his other name. Petrus.
Michael Petrus.
There we go. He wasn't our favorite.
Did you have Mo Harkless and Mo Williams?
No, bitch. Shut up. But, like, all they could do was say, man, this is not what Stan did. And we're like, of course not. Motherfucker, you're here in Phoenix. Like, we just went to the Western Conference Finals. Like, we tried to go back. Stan would never let us do this. We're like, well, we ain't Stan. You got freaking Alvin Gentry, homie, so calm down. But it's the opposite of Stan.
It's funny. It's the total opposite. I had Alvin my last year in New Orleans. And I was like the backup. We had a bunch of guards, whatever. I'm playing. And then he gave me like a DNP. I was like, cool with it, whatever, end of my career. So I had a couple DNP straight. And then we got by like 25 and he put me in the game. I was like, all right. Whatever.
I'm already feeling.
So we start losing the lead, right? He put me out there with like two-way players, a couple of dudes that don't really play, right? So we start losing the lead. He got to put the starters back in. They come back and win. So I went to his office the next day. I said, Coach, I don't mind not playing. I'm gonna work my tail off and be there for you. But like, can you like not put me in that situation again? He's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Next game, he did the same thing. He's like, hey, Jameer. Go get such and such. I was like, hell no. He looked at me like, what? I was like, I'm not going in the game. He was like, why not? I just turned my back. I just literally like turned. Like, I'm not going in the game.
This is who I was sitting next to. This is who my locker was next to.
Hang on. So wait, why did he do that?
I don't know.
Just don't be thinking.
Coaches be getting in zones.
He forgot.
Okay, so he just forgot about the conversation.
Yeah, I think he just forgot because I was a good dude. Like, I respect the hell out of him. Like, I thought he was a good coach. I thought he managed the team well. He just forgot. Like, it was like 2 days later, and I was just thinking, like, I just told this dude I'm not going in a situation like this. I'd rather go home to my kids and just not play.
Well, yeah, because they don't understand. Like, you as a player, you can be okay with a DMP as long as there's communication. What you're not okay with is being put into a bad position, and now your performance, your mental, how you like to prepare, that goes into it. Because like sometimes you might, coach, you might need me. If you over here fucking with me in and out, we get two injuries, a sprained ankle, and something happens. Now all of a sudden you looking at me like you need me, but you haven't put me in a position. It's my job to stay working and stay ready, but you're not putting me in a position to succeed. It's like, I'm not going to keep going out there and getting fucked up and I'm a negative 500 and I'm trying to get a job next year because you keep putting me out there with G Leaguers. And the next thing you know, the coach is like, I try and give Jameer a chance to play. Do you really?
Right. Flow is a lot, Allie. Like, flow, like, for vets, if you usually stay, remember I used to stay after, shoot around, you get your workout in, your flow is good. When you, like, let's say for me, I'm a shooter, right? So I don't dribble at all. So I need people to, like, move around so that I could get open to shoot. If you put me with guys that just dribble the shit out of the ball, I'm standing there. They're like, what the fuck is Channing doing?
Then you get and pissed.
I look like a bum, right?
Because he's not rebounding. He's not playing defense.
I'm on the three-point line.
He's not shots. No. He's not posting up. So if somebody's moving around and getting him shots, he is about as useful
Listen,
an asshole.
You put me with All-Star, I look great. You put me with guys who are pat, hitting behind the back, doing workouts. I'm just like, man, I'm just out here running lines. I look like, on the other end, you put me in every screen and roll. I'm unenthusiastic about playing defense. So I'm going to fuck that up. So then you're going to get me. I'm bad. I'm mad. You can't fuck up the vets. If you got to say, hey, we're going to put you in with vets, right? And this is a true story on Cleveland, right? That second unit, we were playing okay, but Kyrie was the main point guard of that second unit. That worked for the regular season. All of a sudden, the end of the season, we were like, Kyrie started getting into his bag. And we said, uh-oh, because all of us started to stand there. Man, coach made a switch and put Braun with the second unit. We are cooking, motherfuckers. And Kyrie was cooking at the end of the first quarter because he was playing with All-Stars. So we had all that room. But, like, putting the vets and guys that come off the bench with the right players is, like, huge for flow and feel of the game, confidence. Like, it is a lot. Yeah. It is a lot. It's more than what people think.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Jameer, do you remember me going crazy the start of my Dallas stretch?
Oh, I was going to say when you were born.
Greg Kyle. When I was what?
When you were born.
That's crazy in a good way?
I remember this. No, he probably went crazy, went off. Him, yeah, it was easy to go off in Dallas. That's all I was. I remember this. I think like 2 weeks before I got traded, I call a play. I'm bringing it up the court. I'm calling a play. And at the time, we had like the number one rated offense in NBA history, like games. So I call a play, and my job was just to get Dirk and Monte the ball and get the hell out the way, basically, right? And call a play. That's not the play Carlisle wanted. So he stomped his foot. So I call timeout. Yo, don't you ever stomp your foot at me. It was real subtle. It was real subtle. I don't think nobody heard me. He was like, I didn't mean it. Like I said, don't stomp your foot at me. And 2 weeks later, I was traded.
Well, stomp your ass up out of here, man.
They wanted to bring in someone that could follow orders and instructions better, so they brought in Rondo. And let me just say this. Rondo was still talented. Obviously, Rondo went on to win a championship with the Lakers a few years later and blah, blah, blah. But the pairing of him and Rick Carlisle to say that it was just not, it could have been a better pairing. I'm going to keep it politically correct. It could have been a better pairing, but we did lose the best offense. They made a bunch of trades to bring in Rondo. We did have at the time the best offense, the rating that they had seen. You know, that was on the skid when offenses were starting to boom even more. And with Dirk and Tyson, and it was just the wings. We had, you know, we had Chandler, we had Jay Crowder, Farouk Aminu. We had a lot of depth in that space. And then we made that trade. And next thing you know, you called a timeout because he was stomping your feet. But he started getting 8 second violations on purpose. against Rick. Oh, it was crazy. Him and Rick, that shit was. I thought I had seen a lot with you sitting next to me. Well, his locker was right next to mine. They got your ass up out of there. And then I'd really seen it all.
Jameer, you are a man of many hats. You wear many hats, one of which your dad. And I believe your son will now be at TCU.
Yeah, he's at
TCU. You mentioned you early.
12, huh?
Yeah, man.
Come get this barbecue chicken.
How are you? What kind of dad parent are you at games? Are you loud? Are you quiet?
No,
you
won't even know I'm there. Like, even like when he's training, like this is his career. I just provide the resources. Mm-hmm. I don't go to the workouts. I don't do anything. Like, I watch the games, and like if he asks me questions, for the most part, I'll say something or give him my thoughts. My only thing is, like, just play hard. Play hard and, like, don't have a ton of turnovers. Even when my girls play softball, it's like, go do your thing. Like, you know, we'll figure out how to get you trained and get you better at it. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm not like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, because it's his career. It's their careers, you know?
Yeah. I like to listen to these
you
two
don't
with
care.
Their young
so
ones.
So you don't care. You don't care. I care.
Richard
is
the opposite of us. You don't know. People yell at, like, people are like, Channing. And I was like, I mean, that was a foul. Motherfucker fouling. I'm like, don't yell at the ref. He's making $25 all day today. Leave that man alone.
I don't got
tendonitis.
I'm in the space where I'm still, like, it's 6'8". My kids are 6 and 8. My 6-year-old plays up with the 8-year-old at times. And my 8-year-old never passes the ball. He never passes the ball. I mean, you can make the jokes, but I didn't. That wasn't my game. That wasn't my game. I was extremely efficient. He never passed the ball. So I'm typically quiet and hiding because if there's 25 shots taken, my son will take 23 of them. So, like, I stay back and just kind of laugh. I'm like, you can't, Jameer, you can't teach that. Right? You can't teach that. He's dribbling. He's getting open, firing. I'm like, one day he's going to start making them. And then all of a sudden, instead of being 2 for 22, he's going to be 10 for 22.
Like his daddy.
That's fine. At some point in time, he's going to make 10 of them. And he's going to be 10 for 22 for 30 points. And I'm like, okay.
As a kid, I always said this, man. Like, you should shoot every shot. Look at it. Like, think about where we were when we were 10 or 12. We shot the park.
We're in the park shooting it every time.
Yeah, we're shooting it every time. And that's kind of, to me, it's like, you can figure out the rest of the stuff. You can figure out how to pass and rebound and all that. But we get you on that court, you put that ball in the hole, they're going to find a spot for you.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're just consistently aggressive, right? And that's also like this thing. If you're 2 for 22, you must got a hard head because 0 for 4 feels like 0 for 20. 1 for 10 must feel crazy, but he don't give a shit. So
he don't get shooters, but shooters think differently. Shooters think differently. Shooters don't know how many shots they've made. They don't know how many shots they've taken. They are focused on the next shot. They not in there. Oh, I'm 8. You know, you might check out the box score, but in the heat of the moment, them motherfuckers is just firing.
Wait, are you speaking as a shooter? Because you are
No, I'm not.
I knew how many shots I had, motherfucker. I'm not gonna.
Okay, let me rephrase this. One for five.
I got true one more scores. Left.
True scores. Now, say I wasn't a scorer, bitch. Say I wasn't a scorer, bitch.
You got fouled a lot because you were in there like a miniature Corey McGinnis.
Yes, because I had the physical ability to take that shit. When they say 9 free throws a night, that means you're getting the shit beat out of you for 82 games.
I know.
That's what it
Costco, says. Costco brand Corey Maggette. That's what you are. Or a big ass Corey Brewer.
I want to give your girls some love. How old are they? And so where are they playing softball?
My older daughter we just moved there in last week, University of South Florida.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah. I have another daughter or two other daughters, 15, who will be a sophomore in high school, and my other daughter's 11, be sixth grade.
How many kids you got, bro? And why are they so old? I got a kid that just finished his PhD.
My oldest kid just got on AARP, you know.
Yeah,
right. Okay, wait. So you are going to have two older kids playing college sports?
I got two kids playing college sports. Yep. And then my 15-year-old, this is her year to be recruited for college, too. So next year. Next year,
Arizona. Is she nice? If she's nice, go to Arizona.
And like, what is the difference? Like, for your kids, obviously, in their level of talent, and like, it's a different experience. Like, for you, like, walking on to college and then their experience, how is it different?
Who walked on?
Hey, even that got me. I said, what?
Yeah, I saw Tanner Pace. I was like, the hell?
What? Y'all were nice.
Don't disrespect us, Miss Majors, Richard, okay?
No,
I'm talking about mid-majors.
You don't know Jameer's backstory? So, he was a little guy.
How much of this is going to be the truth?
None of it. Already. When he said little guy, he said little guy.
So, he went to St. Joe's basketball camp and was, like, trying to be, like, he was trying to be like a graduate assistant there, but he hadn't graduated yet because he was still like coming out. And then they offer him a scholarship. And then the rest is history. It's a beautiful story.
What conference is St. Joe's in nowadays?
Atlantic 10 still.
I thought they were in like the mid-Atlantic coastal region.
If you didn't go to Arizona, we don't exist on the planet.
Exactly.
No, it's fucking amazing school.
Y'all bust a game.
Wait, what conference are we in?
The Big 12?
We're in the Big 12, right? So mind you, we won. Well, we don't give a fuck about any other sport other than basketball because it's what we do. We won everything in the Pac-10. We won all the championships in the Pac-12. Now we about to go, what, Big 10, Big 12? We about to go there and run shit.
Okay, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
What are you talking about?
Kansas State, Cincinnati.
But you understand that Kansas won 15 UCF. Straight years or 20 straight years of the Big 12. That shit ain't happening no more with Arizona there. They're just back. Even
yes.
if they
you
win.
Guys.
That,
you
come
guys.
On. Wait. We're going to disrespect Arizona and say that they would be in a conference where they would let another school win for 15 fucking straight years?
No.
Are we talking about regular season or are we talking about the tournament?
Regular no, we talking about just owning the conference. We in a new conference. We got to fucking establish.
I didn't know we all signed up for participation ribbons. I'm sorry.
We talking about conference domination.
Jameer, you're amazing.
Toledo plays DeVry, Phoenix, or what is that? University of Phoenix.
University of Southampton, New Hampshire.
Channing came to Toledo one weekend for a tailgate, and he was passed out by 5 p.m. Okay?
It was 8:30.
Let me just say this. Channing is a representative, but he is not our strongest representative.
It's altitude. It's like when you go to Aspen, there's altitude at Toledo. She didn't tell me about it. I got altitude sickness.
Jameer, Arizona is showing up. And we are going to dominate the Big Ten like we have dominated every conference.
Big 12.
All that boring basketball bullshit that Kansas used to fucking dom. We're running that shit.
Could your daughter go to Arizona, Jameer?
For
softball?
Is she nice?
I mean, she's young. She's young.
Pretty good. I mean, she's good enough. Yeah, she's at that level. But I personally think she'll go somewhere down south. I don't think she'll go west. I took her around the University of South Florida's campus and she loved it just because they grew up in Orlando, which is an hour and 15 minutes away. So ultimately that's where they kind of want to go back towards like that area. But, I don't know. She has a good list of schools that are recruiting her now. So, we'll see.
That's so awesome.
Have you paid off your student loans?
God, we want our guests to want to come back, Richard.
No, we don't. No, we don't. That's fine. No,
we don't. We could have him sit in your place.
That's fine.
Jameer, you're amazing. Thank you so much for stopping by. Is there anything we've missed? Do we need to talk about anything else?
No.
Do we need to discuss anything else?
Well, let's see him stand up. You know he's a short person on this podcast. You're the shortest person on this podcast.
Jameer. I'm gonna text you once a week. In between sets, once a week.
Dude, Jameer, give him all the wrong info.
There are a lot of cameras around.
Trading Joel Embiid to Orlando for Mo Bamba. Richard,
there's a lot
breaking
of
news.
Sources. Nah, see, this is me. He gave me some bullshit. Good. I'm like, my source was Jameer Nelson.
That's another edition of Rose.